Thank you, worship team. And Crystal, your heart flows out that last song, eh? It was beautiful. Thank you for expressing that to us. And yeah, we're truly blessed, eh? Music here and our worship team leading us in that time. Also, it's great to have Wendy and Brendan here this morning and their family. And yeah, the time that we spent over at Olaf's retreat, it was incredible. Incredible place there. Great surf, that was awesome. Getting out there. And but yeah, there's also, I just wanted to mention too, for we as a church family to support them, you can actually book your holiday in with them and go for a holiday. Yeah, you'll pay full price, but that contributes towards it. So yeah, it's definitely, and if you want tips for arrival to not be too shocked, or it wasn't a shock, but you know, the roads getting some bit different, but it was amazing. So we're truly blessed, and yeah, really, really experienced God's love in that place. Nothing formal, nothing that we had to do or didn't have to do. Yeah, but just really sitting in God's presence. And that is, God's presence is love, right? That's His love just flowing out to us. And that's what I've been asked to speak here on this morning. And Advent love. And we heard from Charles and Lynn as they lit that last candle there. And we've been going through this series of the promise kept. That promise that God made in the Garden of Eden, the promise that God made to Abraham, that promise kept of God's love and the story that He has for humanity. And we are so blessed to live in this time where hope, peace, joy is available because of what Jesus done. And love sums all of those up, hey? Love is the pinnacle. And it's a pretty, it's quite an overwhelming one to speak on. And there's so much, because just the magnitude of God's love is life in itself. And this is not a sentimental love. This is a restorative love. And so hopefully this morning, I'm just bringing I feel like just scratching the surface, eh? So just bringing an element there of this promise kept. Because sometimes we think the promise kept, we sometimes see that even now as a future tense, eh? Like we see it when we get to heaven, when we get to the other side, it'll be all good. At the end of history, you know, at the but actually Advent tells us that God come into our world and that promise is happening now. That God didn't come into this world to pull us out. He came into this world to meet us here and for us to live fully now. And that's the incredible thing about God's love. And the Bible says God is love. So love is not just something that God gives, that He has. The very essence and the very nature of God is love. It's His very being. And I believe one of the greatest gifts of love that God gives us is our free will. And that freedom to live. And freedom, that's a really cool value to me, is feeling a sense of freedom. And I do that in all sorts of ways. But that to live freely, eh? Like, we all want to be free. We want to be free to be who we are, who we've been created to be. We want to feel a sense of freedom. And it's like fear. Fear gets in the way of that. Because Advent love doesn't rescue us out of life, but Jesus meets us in our fear and draws us towards who He's created us to become. Next slide there, Harry. Because the opposite of love is fear. Fear is what takes us away from God's life, or it fears what gets in the way from us receiving this incredible love. And in New Zealand, we can sometimes go, well, we've got a pretty amazing country we live in, right? We've got it pretty good. We don't have a lot to be fearful of, would you say? But uncertainty about the future. Who's had uncertainty about their future? Yep. Who's felt the pressure to cope and to continue on? Mental health. Our country has some of the worst stats in the world of mental health. Control disguised as responsibility. Who's said, no, I'm just being responsible? But really, you're just exerting control because we're fearful, eh? Yeah, and on a greater level, just in our backyard, that terror attack at Bondi and the fear that it puts in our society, eh? That there's so much fear there. And fear, it's a sense of escaping control, self-protection. These behaviours come out of fear, and we start guarding ourselves, and we wall up, but that doesn't mean that we're faithless. And it means that we're human, right? That's the tension of free will, love and fear. And so what do we do? Yeah, what does God's love do with this fear? Does it remove us, or does God meet us inside of that? Because we step out in faith doesn't mean we're fearless. I can tell you right now, it doesn't mean that we're fearless. If we go out and do fearful things, no, we're facing that fear. And the great thing and the incredible thing about God's love is he meets us inside of that fear. He wants to come in and empower us in that. He casts out all fear, absolutely. You've hit my punchline there. At the end, you have to go to the end. Love that draws the world together. So I want to look at Isaiah, prophecy. And this was a cosmic vision. This was like future tense, a future of restorative love. And I don't know about you, but you look at some of those prophecies in Isaiah. And when I first looked at this, it was like, what is he on about? Like, what is that about? So it's been but incredible depth within that. And so we're going to have a look and just break it down a little bit. So Isaiah 2, verse 1 to 5. It says, this is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we might walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between nations and settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. So Isaiah, he's prophesying about the future. He's speaking to the situation that they were in. They were in captive. They were in fear. The nation of Israel, they were pretty hopeless. They were not in a good place. And he's talking like this, and it's like, what? What is that about? And I want to focus on, there's two verses in it, mainly that I want to speak to. And that is, because it talks about the God's temple. And God's temple was his dwelling place. That's where God was. That was his presence. That's where love was encountered. And he said, the mountain, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of mountains. This is metaphoric. It's the greatest of mountains. This will be the ultimate place. And it says all nations will stream to it. So tell me this, do streams go uphill? Like, this is the words he's using, will stream to it. This love, this presence of God that defies gravity, that defies human reality, what we see as real, right? And he's saying it's just so much greater than that. That there won't be force because a stream flows. And this is not forceful. Love draws, not dominates. And people will want to go there. It says the people will freely, they will stream, they will want to go there, into that place. Imagine that if we were so full in our churches because people were just drawn to, hey, that's actually God's ultimate love. And then it says later on that weapons will be transformed. It will say swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. It doesn't say that weapons will be taken away. It actually, restoration comes. That those things that were used to kill, steal, and destroy will now be used to give life. Because a plow was to plow up the ground and to prepare that soil to plant a seed for life to come. And so that what was once used to kill life will now be life-giving. That's restoration. That's transformation, right? And this is, it's not naive. This is transformed humanity. And Isaiah, he's not describing just a longing or a fantasy. He's actually showing us where history is going. And part of this has been fulfilled through Jesus. We are living in this time now of the fulfillment, of that promise kept. God's love draws, it doesn't force. He's drawing, he wants to, his love is so great that it's drawing, not coming and forcing on us. That's that free will. But the interesting thing is that Isaiah says God will judge between nations. And there's a lot of, if you read Isaiah, there's a lot of, in those prophecies, the prophets in the Old Testament, it sounds very judgmental. Like if you've read through it, there's a lot of like, whoa, destroying. And yeah, it's as I just really pondered this to make sense of it, I come up with this, that the word, because that word judgment, for us, it often triggers fear of punishment, right? Can be judged, and that's fearful, like I'm not going to measure up, I'm not good enough. And I know for me, that triggers fear, that, and it is that sense of, okay, well, I'm responsible for not being good enough or not measuring up, and I'll be punished for that, punished for my mistakes. And I was looking at this word, and in the Hebrew, I think it's mischaff or something like that it's called. And the actual meaning of that is different. It's a judgment of discernment, not a judgment of condemnation. And as I was talking to Joel about this and about what I was speaking on this week, he gave me this analogy, actually, so I have to give the credit to him, credit where credit's due. But part of my journey was I travelled the world judging what was called the Rebel X-Fighters. And so that was the world series of the freestyle motocross. And Red Bull, that's the elite of the elitist. And so it was pretty awesome. Got to travel different countries. And my job was to discern a world champion out of that series. There was a group of five of us. And we were there, but my job wasn't there to focus on mistakes, right? I was a judge. We were the judges of the Rebel X Fighters. And it wasn't there to disqualify the riders. And it wasn't there to punish their mistakes. I mean, they would get the consequences for their own mistakes, which were pretty big at times, I have to say. But we were not there as a judge to put that on them or to wish that on them in any way. But rather, my focus was recognizing innovation, recognizing courage, rewarding variety and execution, how well they executed their tricks, how well they done it and performed. Designing that alignment with the sport, the heart of the sport and where the sport was going, because what we said was the best actually pivoted where the sport went. So that was a huge part of that. We called for the best. Like it was about acknowledging the best and it was about seeing what was possible and what could be. And so good judging, in this sense, it isn't obsessed with the bad, because we get obsessed with the bad, don't we? But that's not what this is. It's focused on recognizing what is rewarding and what leads to life. And Isaiah's judgment works like this. Discerns what belongs in God's future. It's discerning what belongs in God's future. Removes what destroys life. Rewards what aligns with love, justice, and peace. This was a judgment to discern, not to condemn. And that's God's love. That's God's judgment. It's not about destroying the world. It's about refusing to give up on it. And this incredible thing that we get to experience and live in, God doesn't want to give up on the world. He wants, this is how he keeps his promise. And he wants us to be part of that plan with him and bring that love to the world around us. That's why he's left us here, because we are just such a pivotal part in that. Zephaniah, another prophet. And again, there seems like judgment, damnation, or all of that. But actually, Zephaniah again is in 3 verse 17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And this is another prophecy of calling out judgment, judging Israel. And right in the center there of it, he's calling out, because he's calling forth. He's going, you're better than that. There's so much more. And God wants to flow his love. He wants you to live that out. And what's amazing about this verse, it comes after judgment. Comes after, it's kind of laid out. But God doesn't start with correction in this. He doesn't start with correction. He starts with presence. God is with you. He's mighty to save. His love quiets fear before it reshapes behavior. God goes after the heart, not the behavior. He wants to draw out the best. And he sings. Rejoice over you a singing. And this is very contrary to God's or divine powers that they believed in. And for God to sing over you, God's were about judgment. God's were about pointing the finger in their culture. And so this is very counterculture, that God is singing over you. He's blessing you. He is singing is delightful. He's delighting in you, rejoicing in. Because God's love meets us where we're at. It's personal. It meets us where it's at, but it doesn't leave us there. And that can be the challenging thing. God's love meets us where we're at, but doesn't leave us there. And this is how he keeps his promise of restoration. Because if he left us there, would we be restored? I know I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be if I wasn't called to greater, if I wasn't called to higher. Because that's true love. Love is not just appeasing people. Oh, I'm sorry, you're okay. It's calling them out, calling out the gold, eh? And Jesus is the center of this. Jesus come and was, this promise kept, this promise into the world that we now get to live in. A world restored, our hearts restored. Jesus was both embodied, meeting people in their fear while still respecting free will. Because that's the tension there. And he invites us, draws us, invites us, doesn't force us, and he calls us forward. Jesus loves us as if we were already whole, even as he meets us in our brokenness. And this is the tension that we live in, is that he loves us as we're already whole, already complete, even as he meets us in our brokenness. So he doesn't pretend everything's fine. He's not just pretending it's all okay. It means he loves us according to who God created us to be. He loves us because that's what Jesus restored through his sacrifice, through paying the price for our punishment, that we could be reconciled. But Jesus loves us as we're created to be, not according to our current struggles, not according to our faithlessness at times or lack of. But he sees what's possible in us. And all through Scripture, God names people before they stepped out, right? Simon, he called him Peter before he was stable. He was pretty erratic, Peter. Ambitious. Can relate to that. Abram is called Abraham before that promise is fulfilled, before he had any children. He said, you'll be Abraham, a father of many nations, before he had a child. Jesus looks at people and he sees dignity before behavior. He sees identity before performance and potential before you have to perform. And that's an incredible thing. And then we can step freely into living life and living out of that potential. Because this kind of love is empowering. This gives us the power. This gives us the power to step into and step out. It treats us as though we're capable. Because God knew what he created us to be capable of, right? Even when we feel afraid, when we can tap into this love, we can step out and move mountains. He meets us. That's our wholeness, and God sees that. But even as he meets us in our brokenness, because he doesn't deny the pain. He doesn't deny reality. He doesn't minimize that brokenness and the fear and shame and confusion and failure that we carry. Think of the woman caught in adultery. Neither do I condemn you. You see, neither do I condemn you. You're whole. Like he's seen an incredible woman of value and potential. But then he also says, go and sin no more. And it's this go and sin no more. It's not condemnation, but it's also not denial. Go and sin no more. Live freely. Step into your God-given potential because I love you. And that's who I've created you to be. It's truth and grace. It's truth and grace together. And sometimes we think, oh, no, they need to know the truth. And it's in that condemnation way, but actually truth and grace is the truth about who you truly are. You might not be there yet, but this is the truth about what's truly possible. And that's why Jesus' love is so disruptive. And when he comes to earth, how many followers did he have left when he went to the cross? Yeah, very little, none. Because it is disruptive. Love that accepts us but doesn't empower us to change is not really love. And love that pushes us to change makes us feel unsafe, and that creates more fear. That's attention. And I tell you, this has been so challenging looking at this myself. And yeah, because you want more and you see more in people and you want to call it out. And you can, though, push that onto people and force that. And then I have to come back to, well, what's my motivation? What really am I trying to achieve? Because actually that's about me, not about God and his love and the free will that he's given each of us to live by. That God's love is something that draws, not forces. It's an invitation. He invites us. And this is Advent love. Advent love in this time of the year that we're living in, it's an invitation to experience. What has God done for us? He's come into this world. He's come into, not to rescue us out, but to love us here, to love us where we're at. He rescued us from the consequences of our sin, but not out of this world, because free will is the greatest gift of love. You don't need to be fixed to be loved. And you don't have to stay stuck where you are. God sees you clearly and he still calls you forward. He sees you clearly. Imagine if we could live more freely in that love, eh? Imagine what we would do if we didn't fear failure. Imagine it. In 1 John 4, verse 18, it says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love." I'll be first to put my hand up. I haven't been perfected in love. But man, I long for that. Do you guys long for that? That's the promise. That love can be perfected in us. That restoration can come. And we can live out of that space. And Harry, if you want to put that song on now for me, that'd be great. So I want to just, this morning, call you to respond, but without pressure. Because this love isn't pressurizing. But man, the end of history, it's not a collapse. It's not about a collapse. And let's reframe, things are not getting worse. God's love is here. Things might be exposed, because that's what happens in that judgment. And when God loves us, things get exposed to deal with. And that's the freeing thing about God's love. But God is about restoration. And he wants to do that through you and I. So I invite you this morning to join me. Join me in that. That let go of what you're controlling. What are you protecting? What are we hiding and afraid of? So I invite you, if you want to in this moment, stand with me. Let's pray into that space of what Advent might look like if we stop running and allow ourselves to be drawn into this love, to not be waiting to be rescued, but actually stand up and go, God, here I am. I'm fearful, but you've got so much for me. You've created me to become a world changer. Yeah, so God, I just thank you for the hearts here. Thank you for the response. Thank you for your love. Thank you that this time of year at Christmas, we get to celebrate the gift of free will. That is love. A Savior born. A Savior that come to save us from our sins and empower us to live fully, live out of that potential. And may everyone here this morning, God, just feel overwhelmed with love. That we say no to fear. And yes to love and the abundance of life that you have for us. And God, just bless everyone this morning as they head out. And may we step out in faith, even when we're lacking, even when we feel we have little faith. God, that your spirit would dwell in us. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you for this moment and all that you give. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and I just invite you, I'd love to pray with you if you feel to pray for me, I'm always happy as well to receive prayer and let's just, as we head out for morning tea and a coffee, but don't just walk away from this time. Yeah, when God is pressing in our hearts, he wants you to receive, just to receive. So thank you.